As the choir comes down, I would ask that you go ahead and take your Bibles and open back up to Matthew chapter 5. As we continue this series about Jesus said what, looking at the Beatitudes, I'll go ahead and admit I didn't know whether or not to preach this particular passage today. We started last week looking at the poor in spirit, kind of wrestled with what exactly to preach this morning, and I just felt at peace with the Lord kind of leading, saying, look, this isn't by accident. You started last week, and here we are at Matthew chapter 5 in verse 4, talking about mourning. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 4 says this. Another one of those moments when Jesus probably uttered these words and had people kind of scratch their heads. He said this, blessed are the poor, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'll be honest. When you look at this passage, that really, it doesn't make any sense. On the surface, that really is not the direction that we would go when we're talking about something like mourning. I remember back when I was in seminary, I had a cousin that had recently moved to the town of Wake Forest, right next to where Southeastern Seminary is located. She was about a mile, probably a little less than a mile away from the seminary. So when I had a big break, I could go over to her house and just kind of hang out. And, you know, if I needed something to eat, I could do that. And I remember it was back when the NCAA tournament was going on. Is that the NCAA tournament or the ACC tournament? I remember NC State was playing. And NC State is one of my cousin's alma maters. She got her undergraduate degree there. And therefore, she was very much wanting to watch this game. And I cannot remember for the life of me which team it was. I think it was Florida State. I'm not 100% sure. But we were watching it. I think I came in after the second half had started. And the game was pretty intense. It wasn't like, you know, anybody had a 25-point lead or anything like that. It was a pretty close game. And it got down to the very last minute of the game, and then it got down to the very last couple of seconds of the game. I think it was in the last 10 seconds or so that the score changed so much that the person that was winning changed back and forth and back and forth. And I remember in those few seconds that NC State would shoot, and they got ahead, and we're like, yay! And then Florida State or whoever it was got the ball back, and they made a basket, and they were ahead. We're like, no! And then there was NC State got it back, and then they hit like a three-pointer or something, like, yes, we've got the game wrapped up. And then the other team came back, and lo and behold, they won. We had this like roller coaster of events going on in the side of like 12 seconds. And I remember the aftermath of that game, that as the cameras went, they went over to the winning side, and they were just cheering and hugging each other and saying, hey, we're going to the Elite Eight or whatever it was. We're going on to the next round. And NC State, all of those guys were just hanging their heads. And they had done everything they could, but they had lost. And I think back, you know, they were mourning that loss. And as I look at this passage, you know, the question always comes, God, is that really, we want to be there? To have this idea of a blessed life, because we learned last week it was beyond circumstances. It's beyond the happiness of happenings. It's beyond all that. It has to deal with a life that is rooted and anchored in Christ Jesus. And from that we gain joy, we gain comfort, we gain peace. We gain that blessed life. But here it is. It said, hey, You want the comfort, you want the peace, you want all that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It doesn't make sense on the surface. But as we look today, I hope we can begin to understand how mourning is absolutely a good thing. And very quickly in the time that we have, I want to look at three components to understanding this verse. Three parts, three components, three elements, if you will, to understanding what all Jesus was talking about. The first one is this. It's the definition. It's the definition. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." In this passage, we get the understanding of mourning, and mourning is something that we all do. It is something that we go through. If you've been in this life, even just for a little while, mourning is something that each and every one of us will go through in our life. I remember the very first time I ever had somebody really close in my family pass away. It was my great-grandmother. I was in sixth grade. I remember I was at my grandmother's house on my dad's side. We were out in Caswell County. My great-grandmother had not been doing well. She had suffered a stroke. And I was there after school. I remember I was doing some of my homework. And I can remember, I can take you to the chair. I can take you to the exact spot where the phone rang. And I knew something was going on. And I remember getting the word that my great-grandmother had passed away. And my heart just sank. I remember that very first time, and it's happened many, 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 many times after that. You know, mourning is something we all do, but, you know, there's also many different types of mourning. I didn't realize this, but in the Scriptures, there are 9 different words for mourning. Going from a very casual, almost disconnected, that a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend had lost somebody, and you were like, "I'm sorry for you," to what we have here in Matthew chapter 5, the Greek word is pentheo. It means to mourn and to lament over. It is the strongest word for mourning. It is that mourning when someone is so close to us. It's that idea of great, great loss in our life. Well, as we look at that, we know this too. There's proper mourning, and there's improper mourning. A proper mourning is when we have someone who's near and dear to us that has passed, that we have lost. That's a proper mourning. It's something we go through our life. But you know what? There's also improper mourning. I remember back when I was in fifth grade, I was a child that really loved to put things together. To this day, I love putting things together. You can come over to the house if you want to, and we have got like Lego sets all set for the beach for when we go, and that's our fun thing to do. And we got, I spent a day one day with a Rubbermaid container putting Legos in drawers so that all of them are good so we can go and build things with them. But back in fifth grade, for my birthday, I had got something called Capsella. Some of y'all might remember that. Others have no idea what I'm talking about. It was a building set. It was Capsella 400. They had their different sets by numbers. The bigger the number, the bigger the set, and different things you could do with it. And you had motors and gears, kind of like an Erector set, but it had little plastic balls that you put together. And I loved it. I fell in love with that thing. I made stuff left and right with it. And lo and behold, Christmas was coming, and I knew what I wanted. I wanted Capsella 1000, because obviously 1000 is a whole lot better than 400. And that was all I wanted. That was my heart's desire. And lo and behold, Christmas morning, all the presents are there, big old box, and I picked it up, and of course it has that rattle to it. All kids know what that rattle is. You know, it's that I've got the good thing here. And I opened it up, and my heart sank. See, it said Capsella, but it was 5,000 instead of 1,000. See, I had my heart set on one thing. And rather than getting that blessing, I got really blessed. You know, 5,000 is obviously five times more than 1,000. But you know, I had a little bit of mourning in my heart because of selfishness. Because I didn't get my exact thing. See, that's improper mourning. I didn't get my way. I didn't get exactly what I wanted, even though I got an even greater blessing than what I thought, what I even imagined ever getting. But here's the thing that I think we ought to remember. And this is what the entryway into understanding how mourning can end up being a blessing. And that's this simple truth. Mourning moves us and changes us. Mourning moves us and changes us. Very simply put, it is powerful. It is powerful. See, that is the definition. Look also at the direction. See, as I was studying this, I was torn in my reading because a lot of different commentators take this and go a different direction on the idea of what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about mourning. Is it over sin? Is it over sorrow and grief? What is it? And looking at it, I believe that Jesus was basically talking about something all-encompassing, but we can put it into one of two categories. He was talking about earthly mourning and heavenly mourning. Earthly mourning and heavenly mourning. See, earthly mourning we're very familiar with, especially this week. It's when we lose our friends, when we lose our loved ones. But here's the thing. That sorrow, that pain that we feel, those tears that we shed, they are good because it all leads us to the same place. It leads us into the arms of God Almighty. Because we understand that within our life, a peace is missing. We understand that to go through this world and to go through this life, we can't do it alone. As the old saying is, that no man is an island unto himself. We understand we need one another, and one of those pieces, when it goes missing, it changes us. But it drives us and pushes us to the one place we can go that can meet all of our needs. Into the arms of God Almighty. Mourning is a realization of how much we need God and we need others. Mourning reminds us of the blessings that we have in dear, dear friends. Mourning reminds us of the lessons that we learned, of the times and the places that our life was touched and changed by those that we love. But it reminds us also that we desperately need God in our life, because what it does is we say, Lord, a piece of my life is missing and I don't know how to go on. I don't know how I'm going to go on, but God in His infinite love and His infinite wisdom wraps His arms around us saying, look, I know you don't know, but I do. Earthly mourning, but you know also heavenly mourning. We have a heavenly mourning too, and that is over the brokenness of this world. It is a mourning over sin, of the lostness of this world, over personal sins and failures, of all of the things that go on in this life. And listen, that leads us to God as well. A brokenness over sin says this, I can't do this on my own, Lord. I need you. And I was just thinking about that. I was brought back to Christmas. Some of y'all might remember this. I remember Rosalind had asked me one day, saying, when it comes Christmas, can I come? Can I give an announcement about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? And I remember making a PowerPoint slide that had a big, big, massive picture of the world on it. And it came up, and she came up and said, all of what she said about Lottie Moon Christmas offering, helping missionaries, helping those that are in need, about the work of the gospel going out to all of the world. You know, I remember, everybody here remembers, her heart's desire. Say, I want to be in ministry. I want to be in ministry out at Brookshire. I remember all of the Bible studies that she did at Orange Lake.
There was a mourning. Because this world needs Jesus Christ. This world needs the gospel. And you know what? Just as I'd said before, mourning changes us. It moves us. It is powerful. And when we mourn, we go to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I've lost a piece of my life. I need your help to get through that. Lord, this world is missing the most important piece of all life, and that is Jesus Christ. And you know, that mourning will move us to the one that we need the most. See, we have a definition, we have a direction. But finally, notice this, there's a declaration. Jesus said, for those that mourn, they shall be comforted. When you mourn, you are helped. God sees your hand reaching up, and He reaches down. Mourning helps us in our grief, for we remember the one who is with us. As Scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For five of the greatest words, for thou art with me. You know, when we mourn sin, when we mourn the sin of our life, God helps us. For when we mourn sin, sin's influence is stolen away. Today, it might be you're saying, you know what, I've got a sin in my life and I've been trying to gain victory over it. I want it out of my life. I want it out of my home. I want it out of all of that. Mourning will take away sin's influence. When you mourn sin, its influence is stolen. How do we do this? We identify it. We say, you know what, this is a sin that I love and I don't want it to love it anymore, Jesus. I need it out of my life. I need it out of my home. And Lord, I don't want to wait. I don't want to procrastinate. I don't want to belittle it. I don't want to do anything like that. I just want to kick it out. You know what the great comfort is? Is that when we do that, when we mourn that sin, when we take that action, we gain the comfort of knowing that God has healed us and God has given us comfort. I remember hearing a sermon where a preacher was talking to middle schoolers and high schoolers, and specifically middle school and high school boys. And he was talking about, hey, look, I want you to be men. One of the ways we're men is we tackle temptation head on. And if we need to take drastic steps to overcome that sin and kill that sin, we do it. One little boy, he was a middle schooler. He said, you know what? I got to get serious about God and I'm going to go after my sin. He was grieving over his sin. He was mourning over his sin. He said, I'm going to take care of this. He goes home and he had a MacBook Pro. If you don't know what that is a very, very, very expensive computer that was causing him to sin by what he was looking at over the internet. He picked up the thing, went outside, threw it in his family's pool. Mom and dad were freaking out. What in the world are you doing? Mourning sin and loving God. Blessed are those that mourn. When we mourn, we say, God, I need you. When we mourn, we say, the peace might be gone, God, but I know you can feel it. Blessed are those that mourn, even over sin. Because we see the sin that put Jesus on the cross, and we say, no more. Lord, I need holiness in my life. Blessed are those that mourn. For when they do, they are driven to the God of all comforts, who will never leave us or forsake us. Who in Him we find peace. In Him we find joy. In Him we find hope. In Him we find purpose. This morning, take hope. For comfort and peace are found in our Lord and Savior. Let's stand with our heads bowed.